All right, the next item of business is the Sussex Sports Center Foundation presentation and discussion. I've passed down to council paper copies of a proposal that appeared in the weekly packet. The county has been approached by a nonprofit foundation, which was created for the idea of establishing a sports complex outside of Georgetown, within Georgetown town limits, but outside the town center. Picture of the site plan proposal is now on our screens. The proposal is here for your review, and I thought it would be appropriate for members of the foundation to appear in front of council in a public setting to provide a presentation, since you are being asked to consider this proposal, and you may have questions for these members of the foundation. This has been an ongoing discussion over several months with several members of the community, and we've gotten to the point now where it is time for the county council to hear directly from the foundation and be able to ask questions. I would invite the members of the foundation to come forward. I see we're joined by Mr. Zach Crouch, Mr. Joe Schell, and Mr. Bobby Horsey, and I believe they have a presentation. And this is an open discussion, council, so during the presentation, if you like, please feel free to ask any questions, and they will be addressed. Gentlemen, who's going first? Mr. Schell? Okay, please step forward and welcome.
As Todd introduced me, I'm Joe Schell, and I'm happy to be here in front of the council. Hopefully you had a chance to review the material that was distributed last week. We will not go through that in detail. We will give you an overview. And we look very much look forward to your questions and any concerns you might have, hopes that we can answer. I'm going to be the last speaker of the group. I'm going to talk about the financial side of things. That's my capability. The first speaker will be Zach, where we'll talk about the permitting and design stage of the sports complex. And then Bobby Horsey will come on and talk about the construction phase of the project. And then I'll talk about how we're going to afford all the stuff that Bobby's going to do in the construction. So with that, Zach, why don't you come up?
Good morning. For the record, I'm Zach Crouch with Davis Bowen and Fidel. I'm just going to give you a kind of an overview of the project that we're here this morning. But it's the project is located off of Sand Hill Road, which is right outside the town of Georgetown, but it is within the town of Georgetown limits. It'll consist of 8 full-size soccer fields and 8 pickleball courts. And as well as the pickleball courts in the red and the green, we also are going to have a full-blown cross-country. We've been in contact with several organizations to hold cross countries as well as far as schools, Seashore Striders, which does a lot of cross country and track runs during the weekends. Previous one done was Dogfish Head, which was in Milton. But the whole thing here is to provide a facility that is for the community. We have the 8 soccer fields that will be designed with Bermuda grass, and then we'll have the cross country, which we've met with the cross country folks. It'll be with a material that can meet the requirements to have cross country meets, as well as county and state meets for schools. We also showing 6 pickleball courts, which would be located near the facilities at the entrance, which those pickleball courts would be open to the community, can use as needed. But there again, there's been a lot of interest in the pickleball courts from the perspective of the sports growing. But just to kind of go over the permitting process, I mean, we've been working with both the Sussex Conservation District, Deneric, and DelDOT. This project has allowed a number of things to be put in motion based on existing conditions out there. Sand Hill Road and Route 9 intersection, which is right across from the Cheer Center, that intersection has had problems for a number of years. And one of the issues that DLDOT has had as far as fixing that intersection, and of course, is drainage and also land to kind of align to intersections. We've been in communication with DLDOT. The foundation will be donating two parcels of property up at the intersection, and that way the alignment of that intersection can be done appropriately so that it can correct some of the problems that that are there today and have been there for a while. There's also going to be a portion of land that's going to be dedicated for drainage in that whole area, even with the school as well as Cheer Center. There's a huge drainage problem. As part of this process, where you're going to be donating a piece of land so that the drainage in that area can actually drain and get to a ditch that it's supposed to go to. There has been a lot of communication with DLDOT to improve that situation. And as far as the drainage of the site, I mean, we've been in contact with the drainage section of Deneric as well as SCD. There's a drainage ditch that actually runs from the northern part of this property all the way to Rudd Road, which hasn't been cleaned out for years and years. We actually met with them on Friday, walked the whole drainage ditch, and there again, through the drainage section of Deneric, this area is going to be able to get a ditch that needs to be cleaned out. That's going to help not just this particular property, but the neighboring properties, which have been an issue for a number of years as well. So there's a communication and cooperation through several agencies to make this happen and be successful. Right now, we've met with the town of Georgetown. The town of Georgetown is well on board with this. We have preliminary approval scheduled for this month. We have started the design of the entrances. They're again met with DLDOT, know exactly the turn lanes, the protective left, the decel lanes, and the dedication that's along the frontage. Those permits and construction plans will be submitted the first of October. And we anticipate having a complete set of construction documents the first of the year for construction. So we are moving forward. The biggest challenge was, of course, drainage, just because if you looked at old aerials from way back in the 30s and the 50s, there's an existing ditch that actually went across the field. So not knowing exactly where that drainage would go through Mr. Wilkins' property, which is on the east side of Sand Hill Road, or through Rudd Road, there was a bit of a challenge, but there again, working with SCD and also Deneric, we were able to come up with a solution based on an existing ditch that needed to be cleaned out, which is in the process of moving forward. So with that, I mean, now we can move the project forward. We know how we're going to drain the project. It's going to help the area in general, but it's also going to help the improvements that DLDOT has pretty much been put to the side because there was no answer to the drainage itself near the Cheer Center and also the back portion of the site. So as you can see, this is not just for soccer. I mean, this is for cross country. This is for pickleball. There's going to be a playground equipment out there. This is going to be a park environment, not just specifically for soccer, lacrosse, field hockey, or whatever. So with that being said, I'm going to turn it over to Bobby Horsey to give her some of the construction elements.
Good morning. Thank you all. My name is Bobby Horsey, representing Horsey Companies, and I'm actually vice chairman of the foundation with Mr. Shell. I want to take a step back. I'm going to digress from what the script they give me for a minute. I want to tell you that we wouldn't be standing here today if it wasn't for the generosity of Mr. Shell be willing to donate this property. It actually all started with a phone call from me to his son asking him what his pop was going to do with that land and if he would be interested in putting a soccer complex on it. And that sense snowballed to here we are today standing before you. And I think it's a great thing for the county, but I got to reiterate, we wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the generosity of Mr. Shell being willing to donate the property that was once planned for a subdivision. And it's remarkable that his generosity and the Shell family's willing to do that, and I just don't want that to get lost because that is why we are here. So moving on to the complex. As Zach said, we are anticipating approved plans first of the year. The construction timeline is pretty much 4 to 6 months of earth moving, with being ready to plant the grass and the Bermuda, plant the fescue grass in May and Bermuda grass, be ready to plant it in June or July. During the time of grow in, because you're looking at 6 to 9 months of grow in, during that time we will do all the hard infrastructure, the parking lot, the paving, the entrance improvements, and build the pavilions. Also, what our anticipation is being open for play in the spring of 19, ample grow in for the fields to protect the surfaces as much as possible. But I just want to reiterate a couple things that Zach touched on, that this project is so unique. Number one, it's multifaceted. There's a lot of sports. The pickleball, the cross-country track, the soccer, lacrosse, field hockey, whatever we may attract. But there's an opportunity for our county citizens to actually come and recreate in a park-like atmosphere. The cross-country track, you know, that's evolved over time from the beginning to it's actually going to be a regulation track where high schools can actually come and do their meets. And hopefully someday we can foresee some state or regional tournaments here, cross-country tournament. So I think it's this project brings a lot of, is a big asset to our county. It, you know, my family, we're big on youth sports. You know, it's no secret about our Horsey Sports, our Horsey Youth Foundation. Our philosophy is keeping kids off the street and giving them the opportunity to recreate. And in today's climate, where so much of the ground is being gobbled up for development or the open space where clubs can actually recreate and practice and play, or are being gobbled up, that facilities like this is necessary. And then at last, I 2 points. Zach talked about the point about the intersection. You know, that can't be stressed enough. This project is truly the catalyst for that gateway to Georgetown and the gateway to our airport, our Sussex County Airport, to be fixed. We all know it's been a failing intersection, but this foundation acquiring the two properties and donating them to DelDOT, and Mr. Shell donating the property to solve the drainage is an important factor to cleaning up the gateway to our community and cleaning up the gateway to our Sussex County Airport. And then lastly, I just want to go on record as saying is, I think, and I know y'all have heard me before, sports-based tourism, this could be a catalyst for sports-based tourism in the county. Just an assist with what Pete's doing at Sports at the Beach. You know, sports-based tourism is also a big economic driver for our county. And this is, we feel we can stand hand in hand with Pete and we can each feed off of each other. And this is, I think it's important for creating another economic engine for our county, maybe through sports tourism. So with this said, I want to turn it over to Mr. Shell to finish up his presentation. Thank you.
Thank you.
First of all, I think we should review what we've asked the County Council for, is approval of a large grant, admittedly a very large grant of funds, to help with the financing of this facility. We'll get into some of those details in a minute, but I appreciate your taking this up and considering it. We formed a foundation to be the fundraising arm of the Sports Center. You do that for a couple of reasons, most important of which is it's a nonprofit organization, so we're not trying to make money, so the fees that we will charge users of the facility, most of the public that walks in through the front gate or drives in and parks their car in our parking lot won't pay a thing. The people that will pay for the upkeep and maintenance of the facility are the clubs that want to use it at a specific time, a specific number of fields, and they want access for 40 or 50 or 60 people all at the same time and want the fields available to them. So those will be our primary providers of funds. We have three other sources of funds. The other sources of funds will be events, clubs having an outing there, church groups meeting there for one reason or another, just to be outside, wedding receptions outside, because there will be pavilions where we can entertain and have people in one location. We will also do summer camps. So some of the sports that our kids or grandkids, looking around here, it's more grandkids than kids, will be using this facility for learning how to play field hockey, how to play lacrosse, how to play soccer. We've even been approached recently by a team member of DC United, who's no longer playing, but that's the professional soccer club. And he wants to run summer camps. He actually wants to run camps beyond the summertime at this facility. So it's nice to see the desire to have camps to teach our kids how to play sports appropriately. And the last source of revenue will be a tournament or two. We're not a tournament-oriented facility. We are a county park facility, as we see it, available for whatever sport people want to play. The cross-country trail, as you probably remember, you started out as a walking trail for people who wanted to just walk a couple miles on a nice trail, a good part of it through the woods, so it's shaded. It's turned out to be not only a walking trail, but also a certified cross-country facility. The uses of funds that you have in front of you in the package that you were given, the whole thing is going to cost about $4 million. That's our estimate. It's been our estimate for the last 2 months. We haven't changed that. We've changed some of the pieces inside of it, what we're doing, but it still looks like to us that it's going to cost $4 million. No cost for the land, but cost for all the work that Zach has done and Bobby will do to make this a first-class facility. Part of that $4 million is to buy the two pieces of property at the intersection, which we committed to DelDOT we would do. We've worked with both the homeowners there. Those are rental units of the homeowners. They've said they would sell us those piece of properties once their appraisals have been done. Their appraisals are done now, and so we're in hopefully the final stages of negotiating that. So we're allocating $250,000 to buy those two pieces of property. And the reason I spend time on that is this is a real advantage to the county. It's an advantage to us. It's an advantage to CHEER. It's an advantage to the airport. It's an advantage to the school, Sussex Academy. But this is really a intersection that we all know. We have several along 24 and 9 and 26 that really need some attention. And this way we've not only provided an answer as to how they can align the road, but we've provided the catalyst, as Bobby said, where we met with DelDOT yesterday, and they're applying for a $7 million grant to fix that intersection from the federal government. So the funds for this will come from the federal government, but the federal government will make a decision on the basis of, is it a public-private partnership? Is it rural versus urban? Because they do a lot of work in the urban communities. They want more success stories in the rural communities. So there's a lot of reason why this public-private partnership that we're asking you to join us in is really helping get this grant. And if we get the $7 million grant from the federal government that they're requesting, DelDOT's requesting, then this thing moves up the ladder as far as when it gets done. Like all DelDOT projects, we're all impatient to see success, but hopefully we can get a new intersection at this spot sometime in 2019. Everybody tells me I'm too optimistic, but I'm sticking with it. I hope we can get that done. There's another piece of the $4 million that I want to make sure you all noticed, which is $350,000 of the $4 million is a reserve fund. In the early years of operation of this facility, we're not going to make money. We're going to spend more on maintenance of the facility than we are in fees coming in. So we're putting aside $350,000 into an account to pay for any losses that we have in the early years. So we don't have to go out and raise money or come to you and beg for more money. That won't happen, provided we don't exceed the $350,000, which we don't think we will. The source of the funds, as you all know, is a public-private partnership. Private sector, which are individuals, businesses, and foundations, will be providing $2.6 million of the funds needed. And we're asking the town of Georgetown, Sussex County Council, and the state of Delaware to provide $1.8 million worth of support, adding up to, if you do the arithmetic, it's $4.4 million, not $4 million. Part of that contribution from the private sector is $400,000 valuation for the land that's being contributed. So from a cash point of view, private sector will do $2.2 million and public sector will do $1.8 million, which we think is doable, and hope you all agree with that. The operation in 2022, which we have forecast in the packet that we handed out to you, shows us making about $20,000. So once we have enough usage on the field, we'll be making more money than we will be spending on maintenance. We want to maintain this facility to be a pristine showcase for parks and rec activities in this county. We don't have very many we can point to, as you all know, so this is intended to be a showcase for others to say, this is how to do it right. We would like also to make sure you understand the proposal we've made to you, which is a little convoluted, that we've asked you for $1.5 million of support, which is, we know, a very big number, and we appreciate your considering it. We're going to put in another $2.6 million into the facility, and at some point in time down the road, if you all want to get into the Parks and Rec business, you have an option to buy the facility from the foundation for a dollar. That's a valuable option, but it doesn't mean anything if you don't exercise the option. But hopefully in the next 4 or 5 years before you need to think about that option, we will have an opportunity to prove that this is a first-class facility. The community, we think, really wants this. We think all of your constituents in Sussex County, as best we could line them up by asking the pickleball club, First State Pickleball, how many members they had and how many would sign a petition to say they support this facility. Same thing with the Seashore Striders, which is the running group. Same for Henlopen Soccer Club. Those will be our big users. But I want to come back to the revenue that we see coming in not only the first year, but in the fourth and fifth year, will be from the clubs paying regular fees to use the fields for their practices and their games. We're not unlike Sports at the Beach, which is a facility that's there to host tournaments, and probably 90% of their funding comes from tournament play. In our case, we will only have 2 to 4, maybe 5 tournaments a year in our estimation. So we're not a tournament-oriented club. We're a facility. We're much more oriented towards the regular play or regular use by the public of some of our youth clubs to have a place where they can call home and know they're going to have high-quality fields to play on. That's something that we think is needed in this facility, in this community. And we're particularly excited about the fact that we think the public just wants a place like this. It's not just the young kids playing soccer or lacrosse. It's the older kids like us wanting to walk, wanting to play pickleball. So there'll be lots of things for people to do. It will also be there'll be a picnic area underneath pavilions. We hope that people will come and have family picnics or just picnics of their club as they play sports. So that's what I have to say, and we would certainly like to entertain any questions you have.
Questions of council?
Yeah. Now, as far as pickleball, they come to us as a council. They asked us for money. So I don't see how they're going to support you too much.
We have said we will build 6 to 8 pickleball courts on our nickel, not the club's nickel. Yeah. If the pickleball club, the First State Pickleball Club, would like to have more courts, and as you probably heard, they want to have a lot more courts, then we're asking them to finance the remainder of the courts that they want over the 6 or 8 that we will build.
Yeah, probably us want more money then.
Say that again?
Yeah, probably us want more money.
Possibly.
There's always that potential. Question to the council?
Yeah, go ahead,
Mr. Burton?
I got a whole bunch in there, not in any order, if that's okay.
Okay.
The pickleball, just in your proposal here, it's got 8 to 10 pickleball courts, and you just said 6 to 8 pickleball courts. So
Yeah, I think the reason we said that, because we really thought that the First Day Pickleball Club wanted to make our facility the center for their club. I think they're divided in their attention. So they have ideas on putting together, which is a great idea, a big facility on the eastern side of the county, Route 1 access, not right on Route 1, but Route 1 access, and this. And our feeling is we'll build 6 to 8 courts with our dollars that's in the budget, the $4 million budget, because we think the cheer folks will want to play there. There'll be plenty of people who may not be in the First Day Pickleball Club that will want to use these courts. And if you listen to Kathy Casey, who's right behind me, who's the chair or the president of their club, she thinks young people want to play the game once they understand the game. She and I have a different disagreement there. But she's convinced that this is not a game just for the older set. But it is true that Sussex County is becoming populated, heavily populated by retirees. Whether they're part of their club or not, pickleball is a wonderful sport for not getting a little exercise is great, getting a little competition is great, getting outside is great, but the socializing that goes on, because the people that come here from Pennsylvania or Maryland or New Jersey to live here their last 20 years of their life need to meet other people, because they're leaving their social set in New Jersey and they're coming here. This is one of the great meeting opportunities, this pickleball. And that's one of the reasons I think their club is so successful, is because that's what it provides to the community. And that's just what this county wants to be doing, it seems to me, is attracting people as taxpayers, but also as users of our facilities. But we need to provide the facilities for them to congregate around.
Okay. Thank you.
To
reiterate what Bobby said, you know, I mean, you don't have to do this, and I think it's great that you are, and it's so thank you for.
I'm happy to do it. I wish Bobby hadn't said that, but he did.
I knew it was off script, but he did well. The you know, and I what I was really struggling with, right, was the tournament facility versus a community facility, right. And so I, you know, because I'm, when you look at the financial side of it, if it's a community facility and it's getting a lot of activity, and it may not be generating the income, it is getting a lot of community activity, and that has a value too. I almost would rather not have as many tournaments to knock out the community. You know, I never like it when I go to play golf and there's a tournament, right? I can't play. And so, you know, I think the focus should really be towards a community-driven facility, which is what
we totally agree with you. We think we have sports at the beach for baseball. We have a great tournament facility. And if you talk to Pete, as I have recently, that facility's economic impact on Sussex County, he thinks, is over $1 million per weekend. And they have tournaments there 36 to 38 weekends a year. So he thinks it's $40 million of economic impact. But that's tournament. Tournament can really be a driver of your economics and your income statement, as you suggest. But that's not what we have in mind. We now have a wonderful facility, DE Turf, for tournaments. They built that facility just like we want to build our facility. They've done a first-class job with lights and turf fields and all the other things that they've done there. That's a great facility for tournaments. We're not trying to compete for tournaments with them. We will have a few because Henlopen Soccer, who's going to be a main tenant of our facility, will want to have a home tournament. They've been going everywhere with their select teams to New Jersey or to Pennsylvania or Virginia for tournaments. Now they'll have a home place to have tournaments. So we're not expected to have a big effort to create tournaments at our facility, but we do have 8 fields to accommodate a tournament, a smaller tournament than DE Turf has, but nonetheless a tournament. So we think the two facilities are complementary for just the reason you meant. One is park-oriented, everyday recreation, the other is tournament-oriented.
So if you go to the business side of it, right, how vetted are these numbers? Because if the county's going to end up hopefully being in the business, you know, I wonder how, you know, are these numbers, which are driven solely from tournament, right, tournament events, summer camps, et cetera, are they well-vetted numbers? Can you really generate $100,000 from club fees, scheduled practice, and game times?
Well, in the conversations we've had with both Hispanic lacrosse, Spanish soccer clubs here in town, one plays at the airport facilities and the other plays at Sussex Tech, they're looking for a facility with more fields and hemp and Bermuda grass on those fields. So we think they will come along. Henlopen Soccer is already committed in the first year. They will provide funding of $50,000, which is the fees that they would otherwise pay to H.O. Brittingham, where they played in the past, or today to Mariner. I don't know that the fees are comparable, but they're getting four or five fields, whatever they want, rather than two and a half or three fields. And they're getting them for the hours they want and the days that they want. So they love the idea of this being a permanent home for them, understanding that they have to be the primary supporter as a club. So it's practices Tuesdays, Thursdays, games on Saturday, or whatever they choose to do. So we're confident in those numbers.
You're confident in that 100 grand number for yes. The thing. I know you and I have spoke about this, but you have rental contract for portable toilets, and I just think if you're going to drive that many people to this area, you got to have a bathroom. I mean, my mom's not going to come see her grandkids play and go into them.
She's not going to go out in the back for
she's
you.
She's not. I mean, what?
We agree with you, but until we see the demand, it's logical to do ported bodies until people say, you got to do what you just said. You've got to build a permanent facility. And we'll do that. We've laid out on the plan that is shown there. There's a little square is a concession stand, but it's really just the portable toilets. It's a permanent lavatory facility for boys and girls. I like the idea of having portables because you can move them around a little bit, and there'll be more locations instead of one central location, as the field is pretty big. So if you're playing up on the field in the northwest corner, you got to go all the way down almost to the parking lot to do your business. We can do better than that initially by putting the porta potties out in areas where we think they will be needed. But I think ultimately, in probably 2 or 3 years, and maybe sooner, we will be building a permanent facility, despite the fact that it's harder to get for everybody to get to it.
I don't care where they are. My mom's not going. The
my wife isn't either.
The walking trail. Originally had, or one of the renditions that I looked at had a parking facility that wasn't. It was kind of in the neighborhood. Is that still on the?
Yes, it is. It's the answer.
Okay. So that would have access times for just. If the doctor told you to go out and walk 3 miles every day, that's where you'd go.
Yeah, I think somebody coming from Georgetown or south, you know, Millsboro, who wants to walk but wants to not have to cross any streets, not have cars buzzing by him or her, they would park in this little parking lot. They have no reason to go up Sand Hill to the big parking lot. And that parking lot ties right into where the walking trail is. Doesn't tie right in immediately to where the cross country is. So there's a spur on this, sorry guys, from the parking lot here to the path that connects to this. This, the red is the cross country trail, but the trail has another line down here, so they can walk out to that trail when it's not being used for competition. And I agree with you. I think that's a nice feature of it.
And the four $4 million that you're talking about does all of this, right?
Yes.
At one time. And it's we're going to talk about a bathroom at some point.
Remember the reserve fund, $350,000. So the construction part of this is less than $4 million, and we think that's logical. We're going to get great help from Bobby Horsey's family for doing all the excavation work for the stormwater ponds, grading all.
But
the
it's not a phased project. You're going to when this opens, it's going to be.
Originally, we thought it would be phase one, phase two. Now we're mainly because of what the pickleballers wanted, we want to respond to that demand. We think we need one or two pavilions if we're going to have Hispanic soccer clubs here. As you probably know, on Sundays, they show up as soon as church is over, and they don't leave until sundown. And they have a meal or two with them in their little baskets. So we need to provide a place for them to get in the shade at some point and have picnic tables out there. So, yeah, we think that what we've estimated, as best we could, doing our due diligence, it can all be done for $4 million with a $350,000 operating reserve.
All right, and one last question for now. Part of the big thing, of course, is the traffic solving solution that you're having. If that Tiger Grant doesn't come in, where does this fall on DLDOT's radar?
You know, I can't answer that. I have no idea. I think the Tiger Grant is brand new. We just learned about it effectively yesterday. We had our first meeting with DLDOT yesterday. And they're pretty confident that this facility, all the criteria that they established for getting the Tiger Grant, this facility comes closer to meeting all of the criteria than they have in the past. They've filed for and received Tiger funds that you and I don't know about. 301 is one of them, up in Middletown area, is one of their big efforts. So they know what they're doing. We learned that yesterday. Todd and I had a meeting with a lady from DLDOT that I hadn't met before, but she was very knowledgeable and knew exactly what she was doing, told us we got to have a letter of support in from the Sussex County, or from Sussex Academy, from Sussex Academy Foundation, from Sussex Sports Center Foundation. So they're gathering the same kind of information we gathered for you all about what is your public think? How the people all around it, they want one from Todd for the airport to tell them how important this facility is, not just for the safety of that intersection, but for the traffic going every way that right now where it's a real bottleneck. As you probably know, IG, that when you come out of the school at closing time, you know, 2:30 or 3, there's 16 buses lined up to get out on either Sand Hill Road or either way on 9, and about 5 or 6 of them can get out, and then there's a whole other set of lights before you can get the other 5. So it's a real bottleneck for that we've created. I mean, it's a nice problem to have because we've got a wonderful school there with a lot of kids in it. But nonetheless, it's a bottleneck, and it will be helped a great deal by real turn lanes. They're talking about a bicycle path coming down. They want to extend the sidewalk all the way down to that Murray Lane, but also all the way down to this intersection out of Georgetown. So that's part of their scheme. So if you go by now, you'll see surveyors out there. And we asked the DLDOT lady, are those your surveys out there? Because we didn't know who was doing the surveying of the intersection, but also all the way down Route 9 towards Georgetown. And they're doing that work for sidewalks, which is great. It's, you know, that will be a good thing for this community.
But your 2019 plan goes forward with or without the intersection updates?
Yes.
That's all the questions.
Question, Count, Mr. Cole.
Yeah, I'll just make one big question. Because it all kinds of goes together. But anyway, you alluded to this. But Kent County has a facility. Salisbury area, they have facilities for like lacrosse and soccer and all those things. And so many times, you know, when developers come and other things, we always ask, you know, is there a need or come and tell us the need. So I want you to speak to the need, you know, because many of the communities around the county have their own local facilities and how you will compete with that. And if, say, those like say down around our area, we have the Indian River Soccer Club. Let's just say those people intend to stay down there and don't want to drive up here. So can the Georgetown area support the facility, you know, or into the future if you have this big facility? And then phasing of the project, I mean, are you going to possibly phase it as to demand, like, you know, we put in a couple fields now and see how that goes, and we know we need more fields, or is the plan to build it all at one time? And then you were talking again about, again, this is marketing and being trying to be different. If you got the Dover facility up there, I think I read where the legislators gave you a letter of support and somehow said this was going to be different. Tell me how it will be different and how you'll, you know, when these teams, also with these big tournaments, how these teams come from other areas, how are we going to somehow, you know, attract them where, say, Salisbury's always been the mecca for, let's say, lacrosse, you know, around the country. Dover now has got this big facility, and then, you know, so there's all this competition going on. And if you put one in the middle, and the population, say, is not as great. I know we have a growing population, but anyway, just if you could speak to, you know, basically the need and how it's going to fit and what you project and phasing. Is Mr. Horsey going to build it all at one time, or do we get a little here and then gets, we need more, we build more, we need more, we build more?
Let me answer the second part of
that,
your question.
That was one long big thing.
That was one. Yeah, I didn't want to go like IG, just dribble them out. I just did one time.
I think you had more questions than IG, but.
Fortunately, I won't remember all your questions.
Just answer anything. Just say something.
There will be no phasing. The only phasing will be replacing porta potties with a permanent facility.
Right.
That we won't do right away.
Okay.
Everything else we're planning to do.
Okay.
Right away. So there'll be 8 fields built for lacrosse, for soccer, for field hockey, for touch football on Thanksgiving weekend, whatever people want to use it for. Mm-hmm. In addition to what Bobby said about the impetus for this sports facility, Henlopen Soccer came to us and said, we can't stand it. We don't have a home. We were satisfied with the fields behind H.O. Brittingham. They weren't very good fields, but it was their home. H.O. Brittingham is building a school, taking down the old school, building a new school back on those old fields. So they came to us and said, we have 1,300 kids in Sussex County, boys and girls, that are playing soccer now at Mariner Middle School. And those fields were worse than H.O. Brittingham's. We've got to find a home. Would you do this? So do I think there's enough demand right here in Sussex County? Yes, because people were driving up from Bethany or wherever they were coming from to the Hudson Fields for certain things, to H.O. Brittingham, which is just a little further up for their practices and their games. So I'm not concerned about the fact that this is in anywhere other than Georgetown. I think it's wonderful that it's in the middle of the county. I think it's fortuitous that I happen to buy the land, not for this purpose, but my son convinced me I should buy the land as a place for Sussex Academy before we did the exchange with Delmarva Christian. So that's where Sussex Academy was going to go if we could get it permitted. That's why the land was bought initially. And then we didn't need it because we were able to do the swap of facilities with Delmarva Christian, which is better than whatever we would have done, because we wouldn't have been able to build that good a school if we had to build from the start. Cost a lot more money. What were some of your other questions?
No, with the Kent County facility and the Salisbury facility, you alluded to it, you think there's demand. The local. I mean, if the demand doesn't generate as fast and it's slow to come, people are set in their ways. I know as a parent, I hated travel. You know, if I had to go more than 10 miles, I was thinking about it. So the teams don't come from these, you know, 15 miles, 20 miles. How much can the local Georgetown geographic area support something like this? And that's why I'm thinking phasing. I mean, if you build it all at once, I know they'll come. That's what some people. But what if they don't? And you got this big facility, and again, you've got all the expenses we, I think, different people have alluded to. So I'm just questioning it. I don't know if it's right or wrong. I was trying to get you guys on record to say why you think building it all at once is important, and that you think that even though Kent County has great facilities and the Salisbury area has great facilities, that there's a niche for us, and what would be different? I know I rode ride by a cheer center on Cedar Neck Road, and they're in the parking lot playing pickleball. Now, how many of those people would hop in their car and drive to Georgetown to play pickleball? Because it takes me 40 minutes to get from Ocean View here, and I just question some of those. If people will do what you're hoping they will do, when they can just play in a parking lot, pickleball you can play in, pretty cheap place.
It shows you how excited people are about pickleball. They'll go to a parking.
Oh, very! It is incredible.
They'll go to a parking lot, put up a portable net.
But see, I'm a senior citizen like they are, and we shouldn't be driving around a lot. So I might want to play pickleball close to home.
Well, I think it is an issue.
Yeah,
particularly for the elderly generation, where driving 12 miles or 16 miles to play pickleball, why are you going to do that? And I think there's two reasons. One, I think if that's where the people seem to be going, that to socialize, that's what you do. If that's where your club is located, and you're in a club tournament, or you have a ladder where you can move up and down the ladder like tennis, you'll go to the best facility with the best players. I think there's going to be a need for more than just what we're doing in pickleball. We're going to set aside enough land in our facility for additional pickleball courts if the demand comes. So that's another phasing issue, I guess. But I think there's going to be every bit as much demand for this facility as a Parks and Rec kind of facility as DE Turf has enjoyed.
Well, I know developers, and you're a developer. You know, a lot of these projects you all build, we always hear about your phasing of these projects. And I'm just wondering, should this be, should there be some phasing to it, so that there's not a bunch of, stuff that needs maintenance, needs the cost and stuff like that. And the demand didn't, in other words, you miscalculated on one of your, things you were thinking would work. So that's just a question. And
yeah, I think our feeling is if you're putting big equipment out there, grading the what is an existing farm field, grading it for these sports, fixing the drainage, doing all the other things that you're going to have to do regardless of how many fields you build, it's economical to do the whole thing all at once.
Well, I know this, Joe, from watching developments come and go and stuff. I'm a big advocate of when a development comes in that they put the amenities in first. And if they put, usually the developments that put the amenities in first are the most successful, because the people who want to maybe live there, they go, oh, look at this beautiful facility, and it's a draw. So I do understand the concept of doing that all, because as it's, halfway down the road, we got developers that never did build them. They promised, and I always like seeing them up front. And so I do understand the argument you're making that, build it, build it all at one time. So.
Yeah, build it and they will come. If you build a really good facility, even though you may have two fields that you're not using much of, these are grass fields. That's good. Those recover. Okay. So we may not use all eight fields in the first year or two. Mm-hmm. My guess is we will if there's a tournament there. Mm-hmm. But for just the regular play, we'll be rotating the field so the grass stays healthy. Okay. We get off of the ones that we overuse.
Okay, that's all right. Well, thank you.
Any more questions, Council?
I know. I've got a couple. I won't be as long, I promise.
I'll take your time.
We've time's clicking. We still have a lot on the agenda here. Thank you for being here, Mr. Shell, and both of you guys. I mean, it's important that we have community involvement and ideas from the private sector. As you know, we are not the best at what we do sometimes on the government side, but it really stems from the private side. So we appreciate you very much for, I think, being part of the solution, I think, that exists here, I think, and the challenges here in the county. Along with that, we've obviously have reviewed your documents and thus far, and I like everything I see. What's not to like? Truth be told, I mean, really, what is not liked? What is not to like? And I think to George's point, Councilman Cole's point, I would say, is how is this different than the Kent facility? Bottom line, I'm not sure if I ever got the answer or just now, but they just built this multi-million dollar facility. The government did. How is this going to be different? Can you explain that to me?
The first way it's going to be different, it's in Sussex County. It's not in Kent County.
Mm-hmm.
So for us who love Sussex County, want to stay and not drive too far, this is a better facility. It's grass as compared to turf. So for Sussex Countyans, if they want to play on turf, they definitely should go up to DE Turf or join Sussex Academy because we have two turf fields there. But the real benefit of a grass field as compared to a turf field is it's cooler. It's a cooler surface to play on in the hot summer days. And most of the club play and a great deal of the tournament play is during the summer. DE Turf seems to be doing just fine, so that doesn't seem to be handicapping them at all. But I think if we put more turf fields in, if we put 8 turf fields down here, and they have 12 or 15 turf fields up there, that would be a mistake on our part. So I think they've done a good job with what they've done. In just 1 year, their first year of operation, I don't know how many tournaments they have, but they're getting great play. So I think we will have this, we'll have the same, Rob, and partly to your question, George, that I think there is a desire for the communities to use these facilities right away. There's a desire of Delawareans to have home tournaments, whether it's a DE Turf or on our grass fields or River Club. Same thing, that we do have some facilities that work. Ours is a public facility. I don't know the facts about River or DE Turf, but I don't think they're open to the public like we're going to be open to the public. And I think that's the more park-like recreation and park-like patina around our facility that doesn't exist around those other two. But they're great facilities. I don't think there's anything wrong with what they're doing. They just have a different focus, tournament focus, soccer tournaments at River, soccer, lacrosse, field hockey up at DE Turf. We're not all that anxious to get tournaments. We'd love to have a couple, and we know we will have them because we'll have the Hispanic Club tournaments and we'll have the Henlopen Soccer Club home tournaments. So we'll get a couple, but that's not driving the economics of our facility.
Do you know, and I'm curious because I want to shift over to the financial side real quick, which is really why we're here. I mean, because if it was on your own, who's going to say no, we support you, go for it, like as many of the other clubs around this county have done. You're here today because you're asking the county for $1.5 million, which is a significant number. And it's the first time we have ever done anything like this ever in the history of this county when it comes to sports and park, if you would, facilities. So obviously we have to have the questions regarding the financial piece. So number one, that is a really big number. And I would, my concern to that effect is how it plays out as a priority in this county. You know, we're getting constraints, as you know, difficulties from our counterparts up in Dover. And they just, of course, dropped plopped on as $1.5 million public safety. So as it relates to a priority, if we have to scrunch dollars because the state's doing it to us, does this fall into a priority? And I don't know today, to answer your question. I don't know the answer to that, but that is a concern for me. I'm sure you would agree, a valid concern, but it's and then also, I'm curious, the state of Delaware has provided, they have stating that they're going to provide $275. Do you know what they contributed to the Kent facility? Does anybody know what they have contributed to the Kent facility?
I know a couple pieces of it. I'm not sure I know the entirety of it, but I think they applied to DEDO when there was a DEDO, mm-hmm. Delaware Economic Office, Development Office, and received a around $3 million grant. So that was from the state, obviously.
Right.
The county gave them, Levy Corp gave them the land.
Right.
So same thing that's happening here, the land is being donated. In that case, it was by the Levy Corp. And I think the county is standing behind, not guaranteeing, but standing behind the debt issuance that they made. I'm not sure of that, but that's what
okay.
I understand.
I'd love to see perhaps that somehow be adjusted, truth be told. If they've, if state's done something for Kent, I think that we should perhaps look at that. But and of course, the final, I mean, this is located in the town of Georgetown. So of course, at this point, they're providing 25,000. This is in their town. And it appears that their residents will be the most to benefit. It appears, based on today's discussion. So, is the mayor's not here to address that, but I would think that we need to have more dialogue with respect to that initial idea that they're going to only contribute $25,000 when it's in their town and it is the Georgetown residents that would mostly benefit on a regular, consistent basis, based on today's testimony. So we can. I think.
Can I answer that?
Please.
I don't think that's a correct assumption. If you looked at the people that signed those support letters that we gave you, there were way more people from other parts of Sussex County than Georgetown. Georgetown was a pretty small minority, other than the Hispanic soccer clubs. That definitely will be a Georgetown-centric population. But Hinlopen Soccer Club, there's fewer players in Georgetown than there are from Milton or any other part of the county.
Okay.
So I think that if this works right, and it's great to be on Route 9, and it's great that some of the intersections are finally being fixed on Route 9, it's going to be just as easy to get to our facility for somebody from Rehoboth as it will be to get to Hudson Fields or H.O. Brittingham, where the Hinlopen Soccer Club used to play. So I think it's going to be Sussex County. It's just like Sussex Tech. Do all their kids, I don't know if that's in Georgetown or the county, but right. Do all the kids come from Georgetown, or does it come from everywhere by bus? Same with Sussex Academy. So I don't think you can assume just because it's on one side of Sand Hill Road versus the other side that it's a different population that's going to use it. Because this could just as easily be over where that manure processing plant was going to be that we all decided wasn't the right place for it. And thank you for that, by the way.
And then two last things, and then a question for Mr. President / Todd, and that would be, I am a little concerned and as it relates to how this will impact existing clubs, because last thing that I would want to do is be agreeable to something that will shut down a club as it relates to their attraction and their feasibility in their communities, because this is a better facility subsidized by the government, and yet others have done some things totally on their own with very little participation from the government. And if we were to pull, maybe they would want to. I don't know. We don't have public testimony as of yet today, and maybe that's where the next step is to actually engage the public in that next step, for approval here, or at least consideration. So, but have you had dialogues with other clubs outside of Lewis and Georgetown? Again, we have not had one, nobody mentioned today, anybody on the western part of the county where Mr. Horsey lives and works. So this is if this is going to end up being a county facility, are we going to be including and engaging with those on the western part of the county and the southern part of the county to utilize this facility? And I don't know the answer yet to that question.
And I don't either, but I do think that we have talked to Bill Strickland about DE Turf. I haven't talked to anybody at River. I've talked to the Atlantic Lacrosse Club with regard to their willingness to stay where they are. They're in Hudson Fields.
Right.
And they seem happy with Hudson Fields. So I said, great. After we're finished building ours, because you can't play on our fields anyway because we're not built. But in 2019, 2020, if this facility looks like it's a better fit for your club than the one you're using, then they will move over. They didn't say that, but that's my assumption, that if Hudson Fields becomes a venue not so much for first-class soccer or lacrosse, but it's okay for that, but it's there for other reasons, which you all know about. I don't think the Atlantic Lacrosse would mind moving, but I think right now they're thrilled with Hudson Fields. They own it. That's their facility. They don't own it physically, but that's their facility, and they intend to stay there, and that's fine.
Okay.
Our economics don't assume we have Atlantic Lacrosse. or any of the other lacrosse clubs at this point, because we haven't heard that.
Okay.
I do think that the, because I know you're interested in how does this affect southern part of the county, and particularly the River Club, are they going to succeed, continue to succeed? And I think the answer is yes. I think they have their teams. They have a local presence. They don't have to drive very far. So I don't think it's going to affect them at all. Might be wrong, but...
I don't know. But I think it's something we want to hear from them. And then the last point is the school piece. I know you mentioned Sussex Academy, which is a great school, by the way. And I think they do such a tremendous job. And I know you're part of those efforts. So congratulations again on providing another option to our citizens. But will this be utilized by them? Question number one.
I think for cross country, yes. For all those other sports, no. We have great fields behind the school right now because they're brand new to
it. So cross country. And then do you think this is something that other public schools, I should say, or even just schools in general could utilize?
I think for cross country, yes. If you're from Lewis, as I am, and you watch where the kids run for practice, the cross country kids, they're running right down Savannah Road, traffic going back and forth, had to cross a couple of lights, lighted intersections. We really don't have in any school in this county a real good cross-country facility. So anytime we have a county cross-country meet, whether it's middle school or high school, they go to Kelvin's Pond in Kent County, or they go further up to Brandywine State Park. Now, those are the two facilities in the state that are viewed as worthy of holding county or state meets. Mm-hmm. This facility, the way it's designed, according to all the people that we've had look at, including the coach of the Tatnall School up in Wilmington, their cross-country coach is a very good coach. Derek Chakro, who's the coach at Sussex Central. Tim Bamforth, who's the coach at Beacon Middle School. They all say there is no facility like what we're planning here in Sussex County. Mm-hmm. And this should be in the rotation of state meets come here. A meet like that or a tournament when we have them are great economic drivers for the hospitality industry. Just as you probably know from Pete Townsend, he thinks his facility generates $40 million, not what they're paying him, but $40 million, hotels, restaurants, and all that stuff in the course of a year with having 36 or 80 tournaments. And I think DE Turf probably has a bigger impact on their on the economy because they have more fields and they get these big tournaments, which is just great for the community. Causes overcrowding, but it's in hotels, but that's a good sure. problem, not a bad problem.
Okay. All right, and then I just
heard you use that overcrowding.
What's that?
That's a good word you just used, overcrowding. And the highways are overcrowded. I can't get down the road down.
Sure.
For the people that are bringing in here.
That's the beauty about being all the way over here in Georgetown, out on Route 1.
So
I'm really glad I live on the west side. And the west side is just about as bad as the east side now.
Mr. Arnett has floor.
And again, thank you for the answers to those questions and slash concerns. And then to your point earlier, constituent support and also youth involvement and activity and support. I don't have the answers yet today. So from a procedural, what would be the next step, Mr. President Todd? Do we open this back up to another public? I'd love to hear from the clubs. I'd love to hear for those that are supportive, the Hispanic. I mean, the pickleball league. I mean, I would love to hear from the community. If this is going to be a community quote unquote park at some point in time, I think we need to hear from the community. And is that would be the next step, Mr. Todd, or what?
Lawson, go ahead.
I think we contemplated that, and there's a couple of options. I think as a result of today's presentation, perhaps the council should solicit public input via our website or in writing like we do with written correspondence. And I also think perhaps the council should consider testimony here in the chambers. I don't want to get close to a public hearing process. I don't think we should take that approach, but perhaps using our public comment section within the council meetings that are already there on our agenda, we could invite folks to come in the upcoming weeks to make public comment. That way it's limited. We would certainly ask them to stick within the 3 minutes. That would probably keep the conversation going, and that would allow you all
the opportunity to hear from the public. I don't know if those two options don't represent what you had in mind, then we would have to consider something else.
I think both those options we should utilize. Number one, certainly make the public aware that our 3 minutes every council meeting, they can make public comment on any subject relating to council. And the second thing is certainly put it out there that we can receive it on our website, public comment and or written to the council from anybody that wants to do that. I think that's certainly, so they got three options: the website, send something in, or come to public comment.
And then to that point, sure. I mean, how do we pay for this? So I'll shift direction. So we've got a $1.5 million request in front of us here today. So how is this already been something that's been approved in our budget? How do we pay $1.5 million in consideration of what we've seen today? That's kind of a valid question, I think.
We do have $1 million in the capital budget for land improvements in there. We don't have the 1.5 currently, but we have $1 million that we have put in there for events like this, anything like this kind of stuff.
So that's been approved already, of course,
in the budget.
Within our budget.
It's in the budget.
So then maybe we reach back to the town of Georgetown and the state to maybe augment, do we negotiate here? So if we have $1 million,
Next year's budget, we look for more money. It might.
Or can we reach out to the other entities, right?
Can do
to,
that.
To seek good. County's done this. What can we do? What can they do further?
As you know, a couple things. First, what we've agreed to with Todd is that we being the private sector, will spend the first $1.5 million. Then we will come to you all to show you that, you know, it's underway. We're spending a lot of money, not just for permitting and design drawings, but we're out there digging. So we have all the permits, and the first $1.5 million come from us. We wouldn't get around to drawing your funds until mid-year next year, maybe late spring next year. So I don't think there's not a timing problem if you can get the other $500,000 in next year's budget, if that's what you need to do. Hope that helps you.
Yeah, no, that does, but I would still love the opportunity to figure out ways whereas we can get the other public entities to contribute more. Does anybody else disagree with that? I mean,
yeah, we'll
as it relates to what they've done in Kent County, I'm just kind of curious what everybody else's thoughts are.
We'll have to digest all this and see what where we come.
As I said before, Councilman Arlette, it seems to me that everybody's looking for leadership from Sussex County, not from the federal government, not from the state government,
sure,
not from the town of Georgetown. I think everybody's pretty aware of the town of Georgetown's financial capabilities right now. So everybody thinks this is where the leadership, the public sector leadership, if you do lead, we may be able to do more from the state. But right now, the state is what we've limited them to is at $275,000, which is the cost that we will incur putting in the turn lanes. We want them to not charge us. Send us a bill. That's all we've done so far. Nothing about the intersection other than getting it paid for and getting it built sooner. That's our role in that.
Okay.
But I think leadership from Sussex County Council is very important to people of this county to see what's the county council want to do here. Is this something that's important to them, a recreational facility? If it is, I think you're going to get great support and great kudos for being the leader rather than tucking in behind the state or something else. So that's my point of view.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. President,
comments.
One thing to clarify, I would suspect we would at least have two things that we would contemplate in the future. The first would be the financial question of the council providing the funding. I would look to the council for a vote in the future if that were to take place. We've approved the funding in the budget, but just like a lot of the funding that's been approved, then it takes a council action to actually spend that funding. The second item would be a formalized arrangement where we would have an agreement that the lawyers would get involved, and we would put a lot of this in writing where you would be very clear on the contractual arrangement that we would have with the foundation.
And is it a 4/5 vote?
No.
Does it take four? Okay.
No. Just three votes to expend the funding.
Good. Thank you. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shell. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming.
Very good.
Been a very interesting presentation. Got a lot to think about. Mr. Guy, while we're around this subject, if you and Mr. Lawson can figure out how to get this information out to the public, that we want public comment either on the website or in writing somehow to us, and they can come to the council meeting in the morning and make public comment 3 minutes. Thank you.